good to be here tonight.
Amen.
Thank God. Prayed that it would be a good turnout and that the Holy Spirit would show up and show off. As I heard an old brother say, and that stuck with me. And I love to see that. I love to get in a good shouting meeting.
Amen.
And just praise the Lord. Yeah. And just, you know, Abraham sent his son, his servant Eliezer, to get a bride for Isaac. And he, on the way there, he said, I've been in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And that's the way I feel tonight.
Yes.
The Lord led us here for a reason.
Right.
And he has a blessing for us. And all we have to do is just open up our hearts and minds and just let the Lord come in and take over.
Yes. God bless
you. I've been trying to do this for over 50 years. I've been an ordained minister. And it's good. It feels good that the Lord chose me to represent Him to a lost and dying world.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed to confess that He's mine and I'm His.
Yes.
And heaven's real.
Amen.
And hell is just as real. I've seen both places.
Amen.
Bless God, today when I was a vile, wretched sinner about 23 years old, God carried me out in a dream, and I was hanging over an ocean of fire, and I couldn't see the end of it anywhere. But bless God, I came out of the bed screaming. Woo! Scared my wife to death, but somebody else got scared too. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and apart from evil is understanding. And I began to pray and ask God to help me, and bless God. Woo! I sat down at a table that was big enough to feed the whole world. I didn't tell you all of that. I've had four different surgeries, and I won't get into all the gory details, but they lost me on the table one time. My body may have been on that table, but my spirit was in heaven.
Amen.
And like I said, I sat down at a table. I couldn't see the end of it either way.
Amen.
But bless God, today it was big enough to, you know, heaven was made big enough for everybody. Hell had to enlarge its borders. And it's doing it every day. If you can't see it, just look around. Bless God today. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd be scared to death the way things are going. Read Revelations and Daniel. It's just like reading a newspaper.
Yes.
Whoo, you better get ready. The Lord's coming.
Yes.
I'll try to. Whoo. Brother Joel told me to testify if I wanted to. And, whoo. I try to be obedient and obey the Spirit. I get in trouble when I don't. I'll get a whipping if I don't obey the Lord. I'll try to sing this.
God bless
you. Far away is a land where there'll be no more heartache. All the pain will be gone over there, and with the Lord we'll be living upon streets of glory. Far away from the so troublesome world, man that's born of a woman, a few days full of trouble, like a flower he withers and fades away. I have known many heartaches while here I've been living, but God has made a perfect land far away. I have tasted the teardrops that fell on my pillow. And I have tasted the goodness of the Lord. And how I long for the day when he calls me to meet him. Far away from this old troublesome world. Far away, there's a land where there'll be no more heartache. All the pain will be gone over there. And with the Lord, I'll be living upon streets of glory. Far away from this old troublesome world.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. Brother Brandon, you come. God bless this brother. Amen. You pray God help him. Amen. God bless him. Amen. God bless him.
Thankful to be here. Feel blessed and honored to be here tonight and just thankful. You know, a lot of love for this little church and for everyone here. I'm thankful.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Lord is so good.
Yeah.
It's awesome the way that His Spirit works and the way that He uses people to bless one another, to lift each other up. It's, you know, I'm just going to stand for a few minutes here and get out of the way, but you know, I hope that if I leave anything with you here, it's maybe just a little seed. If there's anybody that doesn't know the Lord, you know, or if there's anybody that's just struggling a little bit sometimes, you know, I know as the week goes on and while I'm at work, it seems like the things, life just has its ups and downs sometimes.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the holidays, they can be a blessing and they can be a hard time too. You know, if we've got loved ones that have left this world, if we've got loved ones that are on the outside, Brother Joel, this time of year can begin to weigh on us sometimes. But you know, just pray for just a few minutes here. But I'm so thankful, Joel, that I have a Father in heaven who knows all things, who holds everything in the palm of his hand, brother. I'm talking about a man who left everything, left the kingdom of heaven, because he saw that I needed it. If nobody else in this world ever loved him and ever came to him, he still would have come here for me. He still would have come here for you, brother. It's a personal relationship.
Yes, sir.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen here today. You think about that for a minute. It's the substance. It's physical. It's tangible. But you know what? I can't physically see it here, can I? This world, you can't measure it here with the scientific method. You can't put it in a scale and weigh it here today. But let the Spirit begin to move, brother. What's this world missing? It's missing that faith today. It has no hope. And a land without hope is lost here. You see, Paul, he wrote, and he said, for we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he hope for? We hope for many things. I love sports here today. You know, I hope my team wins every game. It feels like. But you know what? When the game is over, when everything is done, I don't hope for a different outcome. It's over, brother. I've already seen the outcome. Well, guess what? One of these days, my Lord's coming back. He's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to say, Gabriel, I go and blow your trumpet. My people, they they've suffered long enough. Yes, oh, the time is right. At yeah. hand. Yeah. And guess what? Oh, when that day comes, I don't have to hope no
hey,
more.
Well, I have a hope.
Oh, that I'm going to come down onto the throne of my Lord. Oh, that there's something better. Oh, this world, it'll cast you down here. No, not today. It'll be tomorrow, I promise you. Oh, there's hurt in this world. Oh, but I have a hope. Oh, down inside of me. And I have faith, brother. And there's something physical. Oh, there's something tangible to that hope. Oh, I can feel it. Oh, when this world can't see it. Oh, guess what? I don't even know how to pray sometimes. And that's okay. Paul wrote about that too. Oh, we may not know the words to say. Oh, but guess what? Oh, there's something down inside.
That's
the Holy Spirit. It groans and it maketh intercession for me. I may fumble and fall and stumble over my words here, but the spirit that I have, it groans to go home. It longs for the day it'll be with my Lord. And I get a little piece of that sometimes when I feel that spirit. I'll begin to groan for something a little bit greater. I get a little taste of what's on the other side. And I tell you, I can feel that in the balance, brother. And it weighs so much more than what this world has. This world doesn't have anything. You know, you can stack it all up. You can take all your money. You can take all the things of this world. And when you leave and the time comes, you can't take them with you today. But there's a piece of you. The soul of your spirit, it longs to go home. And it's going to one of these days, brother.
Yes, yes. God bless you.
And that's the hope that we have. We're hoping for something better here.
Yes.
You know, the world doesn't understand faith.
No.
They think it's nothing but a fairy tale.
Right.
Because they can't see it. They don't understand.
Right.
Yeah, but it's everything here today. The faith that I have and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is everything, brother. And if you don't have that, you know, you don't have to know exactly the words to pray. I remember the first time I ever tried to pray. I felt awfully strange and awkward, thinking I was just talking to the air. But you know what? There is something down inside of you. And when you touch base with that, Brother Joel, that's
right.
When true prayer happens.
Right.
I'm going to get out of the way. Go ahead and sing you a song, and we'll go down into prayer.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Joel.
Well done.
Amen. God bless you.
Bless you.
Bless
you. Let's all stand. Shake somebody's hand or not in the service.
Okay.
From the heavenly way, and I was wretched and blind as can be. Arm me, Son when he reached down his hand for me. I was near in despair when he came to me there, and he told me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me glory complete. When he reached down his hand for me, since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Give all my life unto thee. Guide my feet, hold my hand, grant with thee I may stand. When he reached down his hand,
let's pray together.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, God of heaven, this evening.
Oh, God.
It's another time, Heavenly Master, that you blessed us to meet out in the house of prayer.
Yes, yes, Lord. Yes.
God, you blessed them, several to make it this journey tonight, God, traveling the highways, Lord. God, it seems like that you grant us so many blessings, Father, when we don't even deserve, God. And Lord, if it be your will tonight, God, would you, God, would you come, Lord, and bless us with a little prayer that would please you tonight, God. And Lord, oh God of heaven tonight, Lord. And God, I thank you, Father, and for my very life tonight, God. And I thank you, Father, and God, you, it seems like, Father, and you've been better to me, God, than you have anybody else, Lord. And oh, I've got so much to be thankful for, and oh, God of heaven, Lord, and if it be your will tonight, God.
Yes.
Now, Lord, and would you remember our children tonight, God? And remember our grandchildren, Lord, coming up in this wicked world, Lord. And oh, God of heaven, Lord, now, God, and would you remember the sick and afflicted tonight, God? And Lord, remember the orphans and widows, Lord. And those nursing homes tonight, God, and the hospitals, Father, and oh, if it be your will, God, and would you take that little spirit, God, and would you visit them tonight, Lord, and they can't get out and go, Lord, and oh, God, and Lord, if it be your will,
Father,
and Lord, most
most of all, God, would you remember that little poor sinner boy and girl, Lord, God, and would you, God, just keep knocking at that heart's door, Lord, and oh, God of heaven. God, and that you remember this little church, Lord, and that we're kneeled down to my God, and keep it as thine apple, thine eye, Lord, and oh, God of heaven, Lord, and God, and how we thank you, Father, and God, and Lord, that we can travel many, many miles, and God, and we can feel your spirit right here tonight, God, from this life we can. And a home, yes, Lord. And oh, Lord, if it be your will, God, and Lord, and the ones, God, and that comes after me, Lord, and would you bless him, God, with that spirit, Father, and yes, that we've Lord. Already been feeling tonight, Lord, and oh, God of heaven, Lord, and I know, Father, sometimes, Lord, and we get homesick for heaven, Lord, and God, and the while I'm here, Lord, and just bless me to let my light shine, God, and oh, let it shine so bright, Father, and that people can see, Lord, that you dwell right down inside of me, God, Lord, if it be your will, Lord. Remember Brother Joel tonight.
Yes, Lord. Lord.
God, remember thank this whole church, Lord. Keep it as an apple for my Father. Lord, I know many things I felt to ask, Lord. Be merciful and supply our many needs. Forgive us, Lord, for our many shortcomings, Lord. God, I hope and ask this in a way that's been pleasing to you.
Yes.
For your sake and ours, and amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. God bless you. Brother Mike, you come preach. I appreciate these brothers coming down from Kentucky to preach. And I appreciate Brother Mike, you come preach tonight. I appreciate Brother Elisha being here and his family and all these folks from Kentucky. And thank God for them. You hear him gladly tonight. Pray for him. God bless you.
Lord, do lift him up.
God bless you.
Bless you, brother.
Awful thankful to get to be here this evening. And
bless
you. Awful nervous. This bless evening, and not to stand up before a new crowd, that
God bless you.
That passed some time ago, brother, and those things, they found my family, they love me, whether I fall on my face tonight.
That's right.
Yes,
whether the Spirit will carry me away, brother, but I am nervous for a few weeks since Brother Joel. I don't know you, but I feel like I know you.
Amen.
Because I've got to preach with this brother quite a bit. You know where I come from, they use a term and they always say a sound. They talk a lot about hearing a sound within a man, Brother Joel. But
spirit, ain't it?
I have found it to be a man, a voice within a voice.
Yeah.
And Brother Joel, he gets up, I hear a voice within a voice.
Yeah.
And I feel something when I'm around him. I want him to come and I want him to preach to my church, to my children. So though I don't know you, I'm reminded. One time Jesus, he was standing with a great multitude about, and it said his mother and his brothers were without and they were wanting to talk to him. Men, they came to him and they said, your mother and brother are here and they want to talk to you. And he said, he just turned from them and he looked out and he said, this is my mother. This is my brother. Those that do the will of God.
Amen.
I don't know what you've come out tonight to hear. If you've come out, I learned a long time ago that there's not much to me.
God doesn't owe me anything, but I owe him my whole life.
Yes,
I'm telling you today, I look out and I'm reminded of that. Of those that serve God, that is my mother. And that is my brother.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you that though that's not much to me, I found a God who is mighty. As some 20 years ago,
yes.
I don't know what car you drove in on. I don't know what home you're going to. How fancy it might be. Brother, and if you don't have a door to close, those things don't bother me. Brother, but one thing and one thing alone will cause me to lose sleep tonight. Brother, when I look out and I wonder, do you know this man?
Yes, sir.
As a child, I heard of a man named Jesus my whole life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brother Jeremy, Uncle Chris, he would grab us. He would tell us about a man named Samson who had strength like no man before him. That was my superhero. Brother, and he'd tell me about a boy who could take a sling and slew a giant. That was my hero. But this thing I speak to you about, it is not inherited.
Right.
It is not birthright given.
Right.
Brother, in this thing, you know, about maybe 5-10 years ago, I wanted to lose about 15-20 pounds. And I went out and I bought some good running shoes. And I bought me nice workout clothes. And I sat there and I sat there just as fat as I was the day before. Brother, and I could buy everything. I could have it laid out just right. But I found that it did nothing for me. There was a time in my life where I did not want God.
Right.
And you know what? I didn't have them. And then there was a time in my life where I thought God sure would be nice. That sure would be nice to have. But I did not do a thing to get them. And I was just like the first man. I did not have them. And then there came a point in my life where I wanted them more than anything in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I came to the Father.
Yes.
I was just a 16-year-old runaway outside of Detroit, and I remember living out of a backpack, looking up at the sky about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I said, God, I heard of you my whole life. I heard of you, and I believe you are there, but I do not know you. God, if you are real, if you are what I've heard that you are, show me and teach me.
Yes.
My friends, they would come to me and they would say, Mike, they would say this, they would say, how come you prayed? And it changed your whole life. I swear, Mike, I've prayed. Why isn't my life changed?
Yeah.
I swear I've prayed. And I looked at them and if you've come to hear intellect, then you had the wrong man before you. I just speak as plain as I know.
God bless you.
Brother, and I looked at these boys and I said, do you think that's the first time I ever prayed? I said, do you think that's the first cry I ever made? I said, when we would be in Detroit about 2 o'clock, and I thought, I will not make it out tonight. This will be my last night. I cried with everything in me.
What
I found in the morning, when I lived again, I looked at my friends and I said, look at our adventure we had. Look what we I said, do you want to know how I felt that change was coming in my life? I said, when I begin to pray, and in the morning I wanted to pray again. I said, and I wanted to honor the prayer. I said, the night prayer,
yes, happy ball.
We are always trying to fix something. We always want to pray for something, Brother Jeremy. I wanted to pray for safety. I wanted to pray that you would fix me with this problem.
Yeah.
Fix this life of mine. Fix this area, my job, Lord. This, Lord. This bill, Lord. We always want to fix a problem. But the problem that we're forgetting is we all have but one problem that needs prayed for.
Yeah.
And brother, and that was the sin that I was living in. Brother, and when I begin to pray on a count of my sins and said, Lord, show me and teach me how can I be saved. Brother, and when I wanted it more than I wanted anything else in my life, change began to come to me.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I pulled up a video on my phone. It was just a room. It had all these Chinese people in it. And brother, and they couldn't even speak English, and I was watching it in it. And someone came in the door, and he closed it, and he had a suitcase in his hand. And he walked in, and he opened it up, and in that suitcase was a bunch of Bibles. And all the people began to gather in to get their Bibles and begin to get them. And I watched this one woman, she got to her Bible, and when she got it, she grabbed it, and she began to kiss it, and she began to cry. And she began to weep right there. I didn't need to know the word she said.
Right.
I knew what she was saying.
Then
I look at us right here in America. I look at me in my comfy home with Bibles all over and getting dust on them. And we wonder why. We wonder why these things.
Yes,
I ask you, where does God fall in your life? What position does he come in? We all say God's number one. God's first. My brother, let the clock strike 12:30 back home at the church house. And everyone says, wrap it up, preacher. I've got things to do. But God's number one. God's number one.
Yes, yes.
We can speak it, but do we live it?
Yeah. Right.
We can say that I love God, but does your life show that you love God? Where does he fall in that list?
Yes.
It is one thing to say it. Brother Jeremy, it's like Brother Brandon said, let our favorite sports team hit overtime, and buddy, we're hooting and hollering. It's just getting good.
Yes,
but let 12:30 roll around, and we got things to do.
Yeah.
I don't know you. I don't need to know you. God knows everything about you.
Amen.
That's right.
God knows where you are.
Yes.
And I can promise you, God loves you.
That's right.
You may not love all the things that we're doing, but God loves you.
That's right.
Brother, it's like the woman at the well.
Yes.
Brother, when he found her, brother, and I love the way she left him, because that's the way I left that man. Come meet a man who knew everything that I ever did.
Yes.
But the kicker part about it was, though I felt condemned in my heart, I still felt love.
Yeah.
And brother, and I still felt brother in the love of this man named Jesus that said, a son, come unto me. I'm brother in this. Brother, my yoke, it's light.
Yeah.
Yes,
God bless it.
God, he loves you today.
Yes, that's right.
He desires the best for you. Brother,
and
everywhere he went, I was always amazed reading the scripture and listening to Jesus.
Yeah.
Brother, and he would always go, I found it like this. He would just take someone, he would take a cripple and he would raise him up, and then he would always whisper, he'd say, tell no man. Just go thy way.
Yeah.
He would take a blind man, he would heal him, he'd say, tell nobody.
Yeah.
Just go on.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I can't stop shouting for this man named Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, brother, Lord. Because what he did for me, right. Brother, and yeah. I was lost and dying, yeah. Brother, yes. In the world.
Yes.
But I had rejected God from for so many years, brother, but guess what? He still yeah. loved me. Yes. Brother, yes. He still yes. called to me, and he still told me when I ran away and I didn't leave a phone number, that man had my number.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Brother, yes. Let the noise of the world die yes. down. And yes. hear that man spoke into my ear again.
Yes.
He said, son, what are you doing? Son, you know you ought not be going. I've got a better way.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But every man and every woman must choose if you want God in your life.
God bless him.
There's no need to fool your pastor today. Because this man named Jesus, he knows all about it.
That's right.
There's no need to put on a show for me.
That's right.
Because I am no one. I can lift no one up and I can send no one to hell.
Right.
You can tell me that God, he understands you. Because I don't know many that tell me all the time. Me and God, we got it worked out. He understands me. I've got news for you. He does. He understands you. He understands that you will not submit to him and you still choose to try to fit God into your life.
Yeah.
Instead of fitting yeah. your life into God's will.
That's right.
That's
brother,
right.
And you're trying to take God and you're trying to plug him in where it fits good. Where, see, it doesn't bother too much over here. I can put him in and it doesn't disrupt too much. I don't say this, brother, to condemn anyone. I tell you the things that each and every one of these men struggle with and myself. Brother, and we always know the right things to do. We always yeah. hear the Father.
Right.
But living it is a different way.
Right.
Putting Him first in everything you do is yes. different.
Yeah.
I found myself at a... finding that it was my 20-year class reunion. It was... I don't even know how many years, about 5 years or so ago.
Yeah.
And I heard of it. I had no intention on going, but I'll tell you just how that it works. Had no intention on going, but through work, I would kind of play it out if I seen old friends. After 20 years, I moved states and everything and pictured it in my mind, Brother Joel, meeting them and them asking me, what have you been up to, Brother Mike? What have you been up to? Or I should say Mike, because I was not brother back then. And I begin to tell them all the things, and I begin to list it out. I own this company. I've done this. I do this.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher. I've got 4 children. Brother Joel, I watched myself for a couple days, and I always that list always was moving a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it began to bother me. Begin to think why it's not Christian. First thing on there.
That's right.
Every time, Mike. Why it's not that you are saved by grace through faith, brother. Why is that not on the top all the time, brother? Because we are not above the deceiver, brother. We are not. Let yourself get comfortable. Let yourself get complacent. I don't know if you're not even a member here, you're a 20-year member, but I tell you, go home and examine thyself and see that you are close to God tonight. See that you are walking with them more than you are walking
God
this
bless
world.
That's
the
right.
world, it creeps in.
That's right.
The deceiver, he is slick.
Yeah.
He is slyer than anything I've ever seen, brother. Right. And I cry to as many men and women. I could drive 4 hours. I could drive 8 hours. God does not owe me anything. I love this brother. And I wanted to come to be with him and to get to shake his hand and hug his neck. But I've got news. That wasn't my first priority.
Right.
I thought within myself, maybe there's just one. A brother that doesn't know you. Maybe there's one that's right there.
Yeah.
A brother
that's
that
right.
needs to hear
that's
about
right.
this man named Jesus. Put Great. Just maybe... a little bit different, maybe the way Brother Brandon can deliver it. Or Brother Elisha, brother, there is one thing and one thing only that I am concerned with tonight. Do you have this man named Jesus as your Savior?
Amen.
Have you committed your heart
right.
to Him? Have you given it over to
yes.
Him?
Yes.
Brother, and this man is worth everything.
Yes.
There is nothing.
That's right.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Not worried about the car you drove in on.
No.
I build big, nice homes, Brother Joel.
Yes.
And I always say if I went back a few years later, brother, and you know what I hear? Mike, I sure do love this home, but it sure is a lot to clean. Yeah. I bought what I called at one point, this would be my dream land, brother, and 165 acres. Come catch me when it's time to mow and see what a dream it is. Brother, and that new car that we always put so much pride in. Go ahead and put these little babies in there for about 6 months or a year. That new car ain't smelling the way it did. Brother, and if it's like mine, I've got chocolate milk in the back and has spoiled over and we're trying to find where's that smell coming from.
Yeah.
Brother, and that is how life is.
That's right.
Yeah.
True.
We're being blinded.
That's right.
To everything that does not matter.
Uh-huh.
I tell my children, all that other stuff, it's good and fine, but it's all filler.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is everything.
Yes.
He must be first.
That's right.
Brother, you want to influence these babies. You want to raise your children up. Serve the Lord in front of them.
That's right. That's right.
Give them this man named Jesus. All my children cannot inherit it from me. I can put it in front of their eyes.
That's
you
it.
Know, I always heard Brother Chris when I was a young preacher, he would say, I thought to myself, if I could just get my children grown and raised and married off, I could breathe a little bit. He said, but little did I know, right behind that came the grandbabies. And I heard that my whole life. But yet still within myself, yeah. I thought my children, they're about to get to a point where maybe I ain't got a baby and so much. But you want to know what I realized? I'm expecting my first grandchild in just about a month. I'm brothering, but guess what? The Lord brought this back. When I was just about to be a father, I remember hitting my knees and I said, God, these children, they are not mine. They are yours alone.
Yes.
You have blessed me with some of your children.
Yes.
They are not
yes.
mine. They are yours.
Yes.
Can I understand that? And I will raise them the best I can. He said, you remember when you said that? They're still yours. You ain't done with them yet. So as long as I have breath in my body, or
right.
my children do, they are my responsibility. And I shall teach them whether they want to hear it or not. I'm running. I feel bad for them sometimes. The preacher never stops. He even comes through text messages. You know we ought to do this. You know we need to watch this. But that's how my father loves me, and I thank God for him.
Yeah, that's right.
That he doesn't give up, that he doesn't think,
no, he doesn't.
You're yes. done now.
Right.
But he stays right with me because I found that I need him more today than I needed him yesterday.
Everybody, yes.
I plead with you to get to know this man named Jesus.
Yeah.
To give him your whole heart.
Amen.
To give him your everything.
God bless you.
Come on.
Thank God for the good preaching.
Amen. Thankful to get to
Amen.
Be here, brother.
Thank God.
I love you, brother.
I love you, brother. Thank God. Appreciate the good preaching, Brother Preston. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the good preaching. Thank God for the help. Amen. God bless this man.
Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
Appreciate all that's been said and done before me. Sure am thankful for God's presence and His mercy and His grace and Him allowing you and I to be here once again in the house of the Lord. You pray that the Lord will help us tonight. And we'll do our best to mind Him and give you that the Lord's laid upon our heart. But if you have your Bibles, want to turn with this book of St. Luke, chapter number 15. St. Luke, chapter number 15. Got a few verses that we want to read you. And if the Lord will be our helper this evening, we'll do our best to give you that He's given to us and thought about this week and prayed about. And seek the Lord for. And it is good to just have another privilege to come back this way once again. I do appreciate the good invite and what we've felt here already tonight, but we surely do desire your prayers. If the Lord don't help us, surely we'll be no help to you. But if you found your place in the book of Luke chapter number 15, if you will, stand for just a moment in honor of the reading of the reference of the word of the Lord. And I surely desire your prayers tonight and covet your prayers that the Lord would help us. But in Luke chapter number 15, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 8, going to read to you two verses and pray and get in what the Lord has laid upon our heart. And the Bible said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she have found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Our Father and our God, Lord, we are thankful for another privilege to be in the place in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for all that's been said and done before us. We realize tonight, God, we don't have it within us, within ourselves, and it's not our knowledge or our ability, Lord, that'll help or profit anything. But Lord, we do ask you, Lord, this same touch, this same power, Lord, that's touched these other men. God, we do ask you, Lord, that you'd touch us, Lord. You use us tonight for your honor and your glory. Lord, that the word of God might go out and encourage the saint, Lord, that ones that's battling and struggling, facing a hard time. God, you'd encourage them, speak to their heart. Most of all, if there's one here tonight that's lost, that don't know you, never has been saved by the grace of God, I pray, Lord, you'd touch them, speak to their heart, draw them unto you, Lord, save them before it's too late. We'll thank, praise, and love you and honor you for all you do. In Jesus' name we love and pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you tonight for standing in honor of the reading of the reference of the word of the Lord. But we thought, here in the word of God, as we begin to read to you St. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 8, and we thought about this woman here in the word of God for the last few days, and no doubt we find that she had lost something. And I've heard folks say before that she had lost her salvation, but I don't find it being that way, because salvation is not mine to lose. We know that the scripture teaches that salvation is of the Lord, and I am thankful for that promise and that hope that we have. And I'm reminded often that that Paul said in the word of God, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I committed unto him against that day. So I'm glad to remind you tonight and remind myself that I cannot keep myself, nor am I keeping myself, but I sure am thankful that I'm kept by the good power of God tonight. And thank God that grace wasn't left behind for me and you for a stumbling block, but it ought to be a stepping stone so you and I can rejoice that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's not going to be but just a little while until you and I, as the people of God, that we're getting out of this place. But I find this woman in the scripture here in the word of God, and if we had a thought maybe that God has placed on our heart, we thought about what will happen when we turn the light on. And you know what, we find that this woman, no doubt she realized that she had lost something. Surely, and can I say that you and I, we're living in the last days, and no doubt we're living in the days that the Bible speaks of. And we also found that the Lord Jesus reminded us in the book of Revelation. He said to be watchful on the strength of the things which remain and are ready to die. He said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. And so that tells me and you that there's always room for improvement tonight. But we begin to think about how that she began to light the candle, no doubt begin to search. And the Bible said she began to search and seek diligently until she found that which she has lost. And you know what? We begin to think what happens when you turn the lights on. And we ask surely tonight, if we went home surely after being gone all day, and I pretty much know where everything's out at the house, Brother Joel. But you know what? When I get home, the lights will be off. And surely there's always somebody most of the time there before me. My children may have come in and rearranged things and moved things around. So I have in days gone by, Brother Logan, I found it not being wise. I'd go in a familiar place with no light on. And you know what? There's been times that there's been things left in the way and things placed in my walking path and in my way. And can I remind you that we're living in the days that the devil is the adversary. The Bible said he's that roaring lion going about seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, seeking who he may devour tonight. But I found one thing, surely that helps me. I recognize his devices. And you say, what is that? When the light
light of the gospel is turned on. In my life, when the light of the good word of God is turned on, in my life, we find that being our help in the day and hour that we live in. We thought, as Paul wrote over to the church there in the book of Ephesians, he tells us, we're for to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. And do you realize the very first thing that he told them was to have your loins girt about with the truth? And the scripture says that you and I shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we find that the Lord Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man coming to the Father but by me, speaking of himself. So I begin to think here in the scripture, we found this woman, no doubt she began to turn the light on, and she began to realize it was revealed unto her some things that she forgotten was there. That's the reason that I like the preaching of the word of God, that the light begins to get a little bit brighter in my life, and begin to reveal to me and show to me and pinpoint to me some things in my life that are maybe in the way, or maybe in my pathway, that surely without the light, you think about us, we dismiss here tonight. If it wasn't for the lights, we wouldn't be able to find our ways to the car. We wouldn't be able to find our way home. But aren't you glad for the light? Do you realize that the word of God was in the beginning? The writer said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. I thank God for that. We find that that light was the very first thing that God Almighty spoken over in the book of Genesis. He said, let there be light. And we find it being as simple as there was light. So can I say tonight that it's all important that you and I have the light in our lives. Have the light of the good word of God tonight. I know that Paul said that the word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, and it cuts out, no doubt. It is a two-edged sword, and it cuts coming and cuts going. And the Bible said it divides asunder. And thank God tonight for the light of the word of God. I thank God tonight for the light that has been shined on my life in time to time through the preaching of the word of God that revealed to me some things that I needed to fix and get right with Almighty God. And I begin to think, we found over in the book of 1 Samuel, we begin to think about a man by the name of Eli. And the Bible said, now can I remind you that if we backed up just a little bit before that, that it was a commandment to the children of Israel that the Lord told them to bring them pure olive oil or pure olive, beaten for the light, that it might burn continually, that it might burn always. And surely that is God's will for my life and your life, that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ would shine in my life, would shine in your life tonight, every day of the week. But we begin to think about Eli over in the word of God. The Bible said, no doubt, that Eli began to wax old, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. And you know what? If you and I ain't careful in the world that we're living in, that's the reason Paul wrote in the gospel of the word of God tonight, for you and I not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Speaking of our flesh and speaking of this spiritual warfare that you and I fight on a daily basis. And you say, I don't have no problem in my flesh. I don't know about you. But Paul said that he had to keep himself and keep his flesh under subjection. Unless by any means he himself become a castaway tonight. And you say, preacher, how do you do that? By turning the lights on. By turning in the word of God. By looking in the word of God for help and instruction and direction. We're reminded that old David said in Psalms 119, that is where that word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. path. And you know what he said in another place, Joel? He said, I'll hide his word in my heart that I might not see it. I know, thank God tonight for grace. I thank God tonight for the grace of Almighty God. I bet you and I, we're living in a church age and a generation. They're pushing all this new age stuff. They're pushing everything toward me and you. And I want you to know tonight that it may not be a popular way and it may not be a crowded way, but there's still nothing wrong with selling out and doing your best to live for the Lord. There's still nothing wrong with selling out and staying with the stuff tonight. Do you realize tonight? And you know, I tell them at the church all the time, I know that it is a growing way. There's stuff I don't do today that 5 years ago I thought was all right. And you say, preacher, you're into that rules and regulation stuff. I'm into pleasing the Father stuff. I'm into growing in the ways and growing in the knowledge and the faith and the love and the power of God tonight in my life. Old Paul said in one scripture, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. And you say, why is that? He said, because you wasn't able to bear it. And he said, neither are you yet now able. He was telling them, if you want to experience the blessings of the power of God on your life, I live that separated life. I live that life that's apart from the world. And when you fail, just acknowledge it. I repent before God Almighty and ask Him to help you and strengthen you for the journey that you might pick up and go on for the glory of God in this day that we live in. But we find, surely, you know, Brother Joel, I don't sleep a whole lot. I'm a 5 or 6 hour a night sleeper, and I don't sleep a whole lot tonight. And you know one thing that really gets under me? If I've been asleep in about 2 hours and somebody comes in and they turn on the light, I don't know about you, Logan, but when I go to bed, I want every light in the house off, and surely I want to be able to get some rest and be able to get some sleep. And you know what happens every once in a while? I'm down at the old home church. God will pass by and He'll bid me to preach a certain direction, and it seems like the light comes on in the lives of a few people. And you know what? They'll get angry tonight. I'm the one that flipped the switch. I don't know if you know it tonight. The light's always on. But I sure am glad every once in a while, Joel, somebody comes by my way, and the Holy Ghost allows him to flip the switch and reveal to me and say, boy, you need to clean some of this stuff up. Boy, you need to answer. You need to get it right. You need to get it fixed. So we can go on for the glory of God tonight. And this woman, surely the light revealed to her a thing she had no idea was there. And that's what I found it to be true. A couple of weeks ago, I studied the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm probably like a lot of the rest of you. Most of the time I work 6 days a week, and it seems like I leave it dark and I get home at dark. And you men know what I'm talking about. Surely you that still not been able to retire and different things. And you know what? But sometimes, Brother Joel, that's when God seems to help me the most. We'll get home, eat supper, and finally get cleaned up about 9 or 10 o'clock. And before you know it, it's bedtime. And before you know it, it's time to go back to work. But you know what I found? Boy, if we'll stay humble before God in those times tonight, boy, if we'll do our best to keep the light shining in our life, He'll help us and deliver us. And you know what? I've learned something here the last few weeks. I don't know about you, but outside of preaching, there's one thing that I'd rather do. No doubt, outside of preaching, there ain't nothing else I'd rather do. Except for, you know what? I've been hunting after a few weeks. I've been trying to kill just a big deer, not a little one. But you know what? I've been looking for that one that'll make you say, oh my. And I was sitting in the woods out there about Thursday evening. We left work a little early. And you know what? It wasn't just a few minutes. The light came on in the place where I was sitting at. And God showed up right there on the spot and reminded me, boy, you know what, tonight? You know what? I'd had on my
sweater
on. I'd had on my camouflage on. And everything it seemed like I was just perfect. And he said, boy, you can do everything you want to do. But if I don't send it that way, it ain't a coming. And you know what, tonight? I showed him, we can do everything we want to do. But if he don't send it this way, it ain't a coming tonight. And I thought, thanks be to God. But I was glad. I began to think while we sat there in the seat. And the light come on in my mind. And he said, ain't you glad that there was a day that the light come on?
Yeah.
He was about 13 years old. That he came to the place where I was. And the light came on. And revealed to me that I was a sinner. On my way to hell without God with no hope. And I don't know about you tonight. But I didn't really know how to pray. I didn't know why. I was scared to death. I knew I was going to hell. Without God with no hope. And you know what? I can remember sliding in that altar that night. And I prayed a little old prayer. Something probably according to this. Lord, I'm a sinner and I don't want to go to hell. And I know Jesus is the only one that can do anything for me. And you know what? The light came on. I've been that older. The light came on. My thanks God tonight. And that light has always been a shining. I may have covered it up. And I may cover it up from time to time with works and desires and hobbies of this world. But I sure am glad the light's still on.
Amen.
And you know what?
That's right.
I remember when I was a boy growing up, my granny was one of them old timers. She's dead and gone. And I often hear people say how much it costs to heat their house. And you know what? My granny would start a fire somewhere about the end of September. She'd heat the house the whole winter on one match. You say, how'd she do that? She fed the fire. She fed the fire. And you know what? I've got a lot of whippings. Growing up as a young boy, when we was cutting wood. And you know what? There was always a certain way and a certain length and a certain size and a certain way you had to stack it for it dry out, for it be fit, for it might burn, Brother Logan. I bet it might put off the right amount of heat, not much smoke. Hey, can I say this tonight? I know that we're saved by grace, thank God for that. But I'm afraid that we threw the decency and the order out the window. And we're thinking any old way and any old thing will work. And that's all I learned as a kid. You can't burn and do any old way, any old thing. You'll get a lot of smoke and no heat tonight.
Amen. That's right.
I'm afraid we're in the days that we're getting a whole lot of smoke and no heat. We're living in the days, folks. And you know, I can remember my granny, she'd open that old stove door. And when it really get to burning, Brother Joel, you ain't never heard such a racket of something a gasping fire. And you know what? I believe if the church, if you and I, me at the top of the list, we get some things prepared in our life and turn the light on, we might be able to experience that Paul said over there in the book of Revelation. He said, we's all gathered together, one mind, one accord, one place. They was gathered in the upper room. They wasn't praying to kill a big deer. They wasn't praying to drive a new car. They wasn't praying for a new home. You know what they was praying for? The promise of the Comforter had come to them. Jesus had been gone a few days, and they realized they couldn't make it without him.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible said in the book of Acts, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You know what happened when my grandma opened that damper up and she'd turn that knob on the front? Boy, it'd make a sound. And you know what you could expect? The fire was going to get hot and it's going to put off more heat. It might burn a little more wood, but boy, it's going to put off some more heat. And the Bible said that the Lord looked down
over in the book of Acts, and he's seen them all praying. And they wasn't praying for nothing else but God to pass by where they was at. And the Bible said suddenly they came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it came and filled all that were sitting in the house. And suddenly there began to spit cloven tongues of fire. You know what tonight? That the outside world thought is foolish. They said these men are drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're wasted. Like the brother saying a while ago, you know what my problem is? God's on my list, but a lot of times he ain't top on my list.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
I'm going to be honest with you. Happens the last few weeks, Big Dare's been on top of my list. He's been on top of my list.
Yeah. I know.
You know what tonight?
That happens.
And I thought about while I was sitting over there today. We've not been moved too long. We've been in the place where we was at for 4 years. And the place where I came from, I was 980 square feet, Brother Joel. And we owned 0.3 of an acre. And I'd have been praying for a few years. And you know what tonight, Lord? If it be your will, we'd like to move. We'd like a little more room and be able to do a little something. And you know what? The place where we're at, it came up on the market. Hey, you know what? I'd done everything I'd do to get my credit right. And that's back before homes went out of the side. And there it was. It's 2,100 square feet. And it was on 10 acres. And you know what I remember saying? I went over there and prayed on that back porch that night. And you know what? It seemed like they were uncertain if everything was going to happen inside the 45 days. But it seemed like the light came on when I was on that porch, Brother Logan. And he said, I told you when you started that it was yours and I'm going to see you through. I don't worry about it and don't fret. I don't worry about it all, Brother Joel. I've got it handled and under control.
Right.
And I remember praying, say, God, if you'll give me that, I won't ask for anything else. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, and I ain't preaching about deer hunting tonight. That's the only way I don't do it. The first year and the second year, I had it easy. You know where I hunted off of? My back porch. But you know what? And surely then, I remember, I don't know what it is about us and human nature, but when we get something big, we want something a little bigger.
That's right. That's right.
And you know what? I went from... And you men that hunt know what I'm talking about. I went from where I was before. I started growing up to I was shooting this, and I moved and it was this, and it was a little bigger. I saw, you know what, it wasn't long, Brother Joel. Hunting off the back porch got a little old to me. Now, God had done all he said he was going to do. And I said, God, if you'll give me this, I won't ask you for anything else. Thank God tonight he's a keeping me because I'm the biggest liar ever was. I don't know about you, but I lie to him a whole lot and don't mean to. Don't you? And you know what tonight? But I'm glad I'm like this woman. When I realize there's something out of place.
Yeah.
There's enough God in me when I realize there's something out of place.
Right.
Boy, you need to turn the light on.
That's right.
Yeah.
You need to turn the light on. You know what got Eli in the shape he's in, the reason the lamp went out in the house of God, because he heard what his children was doing. He could have put a stop to it. But you know what? He did not. The Bible said he began to act old and he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the place of the house of God, and the lamp went out. You know what? Thank God tonight for that light that's continually burning in my life.
That's right.
Whether I want to let it shine or not, that's up to me. This woman, she finally got to a place where she realized how she was incomplete. Wasn't that she had lost her salvation? Wasn't that she had lost her promise tonight if she had lost her fellowship?
Yeah.
She had lost that one time, Brother Joel, that she thought she couldn't live without. But she's like the brother said, we get complacent a lot of times in this way. We get to looking at what the world's got. I guess if I could relate to any particular chapter in probably the whole Bible, out of all honesty, it'd be Psalm 73.
Yeah.
Where the psalmist said, truly God's good to Israel and them that are clean heart. He said, God's good to everybody else, but it sure seems like God's failed me. That's what he's saying. But as he said, for me, my feet have well nigh slipped and my steps are almost gone.
Yeah.
He said, I was envious when I seen the prosperity of the wicked. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's where he messed up. He got to looking at the wrong direction. Got to looking toward the wrong light. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was envious when I seen the prosperity of the wicked.
Yeah.
So what was he talking about? He said, they've got RVs, SUVs, ATVs, big homes, fine houses, automobiles. And he said, seemed like never trouble never comes their way. But I want to tell you where you and I can go get the lights turned on in our life. Here the psalmist was, he has almost quit, he was almost done. But I believe 73 and 17 or 18 one,
yeah.
And said, till I went to the sanctuary,
yeah.
Then understood I therein. He said, I wasn't envious of them anymore. He said, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. And do you realize tonight that it's by the grace and the mercy of God that you and I didn't slip off into hell before salvation ever came to where we is at? I don't know about you, and I know it's not a salvation of works, but I still feel indebted to him. I still feel I need some experiences every once in a while. I told them men at work, I'd just like to get away. And I'd just like to go sit down somewhere, look down a big holler, and just wait on something. But you know what? I never seen a thing Thursday evening. It didn't matter to me. You know why? Because God came by the place where I was. And me and him had a time. Me and him had a fellowship. And it don't matter what kind of covering you grab, what you get a hold of. And you know what? All everything that you can take in the world, if God don't send it, it still ain't going to come.
That's right.
And we need to realize that tonight. When did the light turn on? The Bible said she began to sweep and search diligently. And she didn't give up. You say, preacher, I'd like to get back to what it used to be. She didn't give up. She searched and swept diligently. She didn't call for any help. And you know what? Tonight, I get a whole lot. I don't know about these other men, but the place where I pastor, sometimes some of them needy people, and I'm not complaining. That's what God's called me to do, and that's the places he placed me. But there's some things you're just going to have to figure out on your own.
Right.
She didn't call the preacher and say, would you come and help me find it? She didn't call the brother, and she didn't call her sister. The Bible said she began to sweep and search diligently until she found it. Then when she found it, she could rejoice. She began to call everybody else, say, come rejoice, for I found that which was lost. You know what, tonight, I get told a lot of problems, Brother Joel, it's none of my business. That's none of my business tonight. If folks need help and they need some guidance, I'll do my best to help and try to guide them. But there's some things that you just need to keep between you and God.
Right.
You know what, tonight, they some, Brother Joel, they've ruined my confidence in them by telling me too much stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just human tonight.
Yeah.
Do you know what one we can tell that already knows it tonight, he's just waiting on you to acknowledge it yourself.
That's right.
Is him. That's the reason he said, come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest for your soul. Boys, you know what, tonight, you'll have to, the light's already on. It's already on tonight. You just have to take your hand off the switch. Have to take your hands off the switch. You know what, we was in revival meeting here a while back, a few months ago, and I thought, I remember growing up, you'd see them old advertisements for them clap on and clap off lights. You remember them? We was in one of them services, I thought, well, Lord, if we had them, we'd have blowed every bulb in the house. Because no matter how, what you chant, what tongue you speak in, if God don't send it, it still ain't going to come.
Right.
It still ain't going to come. You know what? If my grandma didn't feed the fire, Brother Joel, they wouldn't have turned the thermostat up. They'd have froze to death. If somebody didn't prepare the wood to feed
That's
the
right.
fire,
that's right.
They'd have been nothing to feed the fire. But I'm not talking about a labor and salvation. I'm talking about a salvation that'll cause you to labor and work for the cause of Christ.
That's right.
And because of the fellowship and because of the, no doubt, relationship that we have with him.
Yes.
Thank God for the day that the light got turned on. And thank God for the times in my life when I take my hand off the switch and say, go ahead, Lord.
Go ahead. You know what those men did and those did on the day of Pentecost? They said, God, we are not making without you. But we're living in the day set where folks are saying, God, we will make it without you. The Laodicean church said, Lord, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They was in such bad shape they didn't realize it. He said, knowest thou not, they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And he said some words that most Baptists don't like to hear anymore, most Christians don't like to hear anymore. He said, I counsel thee. I counsel. You say, you know what that word counsel means? He said, I'm going to send you some correction and instruction, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong in your life. But you'll have to turn the light on tonight. Thankful for this privilege, this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Thank God for the good word. Bless you. Thank God, I love you. Amen. Thank God for the good words. Brother Elisha, you come preach tonight. Close us out. Appreciate this, brother. Thank God for him. Amen. Come on, brother. Come on, preach. All right, be fine. God bless you. Amen.
Disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so weak. But Jesus arose when they called. Said to them, where is your faith? Because you've prayed all night. Because you've held on with all of your might. How your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows.
You all would continue to pray this evening.
Bless him, Lord.
Truly enjoy what we've already been listening to and begin to think about that little song. And
yeah,
Tiffany was singing there that your cries have awoken the Master. And no doubt we've all been through some things in life and I believe sometimes God will let us go through some things in life, Brother Joel, maybe just to let us know and realize that it's not in us today,
that's
but
right,
through everything,
right.
We still need Him.
Yes. He never makes a mistake.
Maybe you've had your own experience where you've had to kneel down in a hospital or a nursing home somewhere and I begin to feel like, Lord, I've prayed all night. I begin to think that, get that feeling that, like that little song, that your cries had awoken the Master right there in that little hospital room. But I've got news for you today. And I love that little song, but He was never sleeping. Why I've never found myself to be anywhere where God didn't know where I was. I never had to go find Him and wake Him up somewhere when I needed Him. But it seems like every time that I've ever needed Him, that I find that He was always right there. When the world would say that, Lord, you're 4 days late, I would say, yet He's still right on time. I heard you, Brother Joel, put it one time, said that He knows where I'm at. He knows what I need, and He knows how to call. I feel like that this evening. Why that He, I've never been anywhere that He didn't know where I was and what I needed. But I feel like through it all today, we might have to walk through some troubled times in this life. But He didn't say that I have to do it all on my own. But thank God today that He said, son, I'll walk with you. I'll not leave you nor forsake you, even when one time Abraham, who was old in age, Abraham, who didn't have a son, and yet some would say that he was too old to have a son, and through many prayers and things in life, God blessed him with a son, and said, through your son, thine only son, will the earth be blessed here today. And so, just like that, God, He gave him a son into this world. And then time went on a little bit, and the Lord began to talk to Abraham, and He said, Abraham, son, I've got something that I need you to do. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac here, and I want you to go up on the mountain. That I'm going to show you. Brother, you just pray for a minute, and I'll try to get myself out of the way. But you're going to take him up on the mountaintop. And you, you're going to sacrifice him right there for me. And so they began on their little journey there and said that they had a couple other men that was with them there. And on the third day, said that Abraham, that he stopped with the lad there. And he looked and he said, behold, I can see. He said, behold, I can see the city.
Yeah.
He said, behold, I can see something afar off.
Yeah.
Brethren, and I thought about that. I thought, how many times have we got caught up in the Spirit of the Lord and felt like, felt it so strong that it felt like, Lord, I feel like I can see you, Lord, far off. Lord, just carry me on out today, if it be thy will. But you know, they come to that place, and he showed him the mountain where that he wanted him to go and sacrifice his only son. And said that when they got there, that Abraham, that he looked at the other two that was with him, and he said, I want you all to stay right here. But me and the lad, we're going to go up on the mountain, and we're going to worship the Lord.
to you. He already believed that they were just going to go and worship the Lord. Boys, I thought about when Jesus, when he come and he could see Calvary in the distance. And no doubt, Peter was ready to draw his sword and begin to fight the army there. Jesus, he could have looked down and said, boys, you just stay right here. You don't want to see this, but I'm just going to go and I'm going to worship the Father, and then I'll return again. He didn't say that, but he could have said that because he knowed what he had to do, and he knowed that he would return again. And so they went up and said that they had the fire with them. I had the wood on his back, and he was the sacrifice. Yes. And they got up there on the mountain. Thank God. Sometimes we gotta walk through some things in life. Yes. But I'm glad that he said, "I'll be with you through it all." Thank God. Yes. Abraham had to trust him, brethren. And so they got up there. Yes. Said that he began to build the altar, and he laid the wood out, and then he found Isaac and said that he laid on the wood. Brother, when I read that, I could see as they laid Jesus on the wood, and he was laying there, and everything had been prepared, and said that Abraham, he had a knife, and he drew it back to kill Isaac right there. Even all the way unto death was he trusting in the Lord. But praise God, they wasn't alone up on the mountain and said that a voice spoke from heaven and said, Abraham, son, stop. Don't do the boy any harm. But don't you know, when them soldiers, when they drew them nails back to drive them with Jesus laying on the wood, boys, then nobody spoke up, and nobody said, stop, don't drive the nails. And Jesus, see, Abraham thought, he thought he was doing the hard thing, but he didn't have to go all the way.
Right.
He had to come right to the edge of it, brother. But he didn't have to go all the way across it, did he? Because he wasn't alone. But don't you know, when it come Jesus' time, when he was the one that was stretched out in the woods, there was nobody there, even the Father. He had to turn his back on the only one that knew no sin, and yet your sin,
that's right,
and my sin,
that
drove him to the cross, and held him to the cross for you and me.
Yes, amen.
But praise God, he was willing. He was willing to go through it.
Yes.
And just going up on the mountain to worship the Father.
That's right.
And knowing that he would come back, that's brethren. Right. And you know what I love is not long after that Abraham, that he went and he got one of his servants for him, and he said, and now I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go and get Isaac, my son. I want you to go and get him a bride.
Yes.
And you bring her back to me today. Boys, I got news for you. There's a bride today, and one of these days, as Brother Brandon said, there's going to be a trumpet to sound.
Yes.
Gabriel, he's going to get up and he's going to blow the trumpet, and Jesus, he's going to come after his bride.
Yes.
And I don't know what the case is with you today, but as for me, I want to be one in that number. Lord, just let me be a part of that bride. Lord, let me when I arise, let me see you coming in the clouds of glory for me. and for all the children of God, God to never suffer no more here, to never have to look at death again, to never have to say goodbye to a loved one again. But, you know, I just thought about how the world will look on these things and say, as soon as tragedy happens, they would say, where is your God today? Where is he at? Maybe he's asleep. Maybe they'll mock him like they did in the times of Baal. I don't know. But I got news for you. He is real today. And even though the world may not see it, I believe that he shows up for me right on time. Brother, whenever I need him, he's not too far away. I'm going to tell this, and then you brothers can come on. You know, it's been several years back that I was over down the road somewhere, and we got a phone call that one of a good friend of ours, her little 2-year-old son, he had just reached up on the coffee table there, and he had grabbed a pot of coffee and pulled it over on himself, or a cup of coffee, I'm sorry, and said that coffee was so hot that it scalded the baby, and it went down his face and his chest, and said, we got a bad phone call. I said they rushed him down to the emergency room, and they was going to have to fly him out, and said, just get down here when you can. Said, we need some prayer, brother. And you know, so we took off to get down there, and my heart was broken thinking of this two-year-old baby. And they said, we can't fly him out because we can't even keep him sedated long enough, trying to put stuff in him, and he's just pulling it out and screaming as loud as he can. And you know, I remember sitting in that little hospital room right there, waiting to go back. And I remember my mother-in-law was there, and she said, we can live with the scars. I just hope that he takes the pain away. And I begin to think right there, boy, my God, he can take the pain away, but he's big enough to take the scars too. And you know, we went in there and we rushed through in that little room that he was in, and doctors was running in and out like crazy, and we went over there and the baby was screaming, and we just went and we started to pray. Brother Joe, and I laid my hand over on him, and I began to think about when Jesus, when he was outside and Lazarus laid in the tomb, and he began to pray to the Father, Lord, not for my sake, but for the sake of those around, would you that they might believe, Lord, let him come forth. And Lazarus got up and I said, Lord, for the sake of those around me, Lord, would you heal this little baby, Lord? God, would you touch the baby, Lord? And you know, the baby stopped crying as we prayed. And just like that, and they began to fly out. And we got, just a couple days later, we got a little phone call and said, I believe it's about 3 days after the incident. And they said, the doctor went in that morning and said that he was stunned by what he saw, and said that he come out and he looked at the nurse and he said, I just don't understand this. That baby, the skin was melting off his face. It was falling plumb off of him. And I can't even find a red spot on him today. The cold and the scars was gone. Ain't you glad this evening that we have a God who said, boys, I'll take the scars. I'll take the pain. I'll take it all. Praise God. And that's not all he took, but also
also. He said, not only that, but I'll take yours. And nevermore to be rebuilt again. Oh, praise God. Where else would you want to be today? What else would you trade today? For this man who, when I was found with nothing, when I deserved nothing, he gave it all to me. And not the cause of what I did. Oh, praise God. It's the cause of what he did.
God.
Brother, you can come on any way you want. I'm thankful today. The world will look and say that that your God is late, and maybe he's on a journey somewhere, but I don't believe that today. My cries never had to wake him up because I had him with me when I went down on my knees.
Yeah, buddy.
I had him with me when I was the one standing outside the hospital room with the loved one on the inside.
Yeah,
I had him with me, brother, and when we all stood around and waited for my papa to take his flight out of here. Ain't you glad we wasn't alone in that room?
Yes,
Brother Joel.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that there was somebody, and some would say, maybe your God left you. He didn't leave me, but he was right there. Because I could feel him all over me.
Yes.
And I just believe that he gave him a sweet flight out of here. And I want to be like that when it's my time to go.
Yes.
What kind of hope do you have today?
Yes.
What kind of hope are you holding on to that... that when you have to lay down and take your last breath of life, what are you going to have that's going to maybe carry you on over? What do you have that you're going to leave for your family, for your children? I got news for you. As the brother said, those material things, they'll pass away. But there's one thing that will stand to the end of the world, and that's the truth, the Word of God.